theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome back, friends.
Welcome back, everybody.
We're so happy you're here.
Yes, we are. And we are happy to be here with you. We are energized. We're excited. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling great. And excited to talk about this this topic today. I'm just curious as to where this conversation is going to go.
Yeah, in all honesty, I think we're about to get deep, even though we're kind of talking a little bit about stupidity.
Yeah, that's the topic for today. Yeah. The basic laws of stupidity. Yeah. And we saw this. We love Professor Scott Galloway. He's a professor over at NYU. He's mm-hmm. very active online, and he's got a great podcast and YouTube channel, all that good stuff. And he put out a video that we thought was really interesting. And he basically proposed, well, he put forth someone else's, a researcher's, basically his framework for what is stupid, right?
Carlo Cipolla.
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 Yeah, it's Italian. In Italian, and a C-I or C-E is C.
Got it.
Yeah. So, basically it comes down to four quadrants, and I'll let John explain it.
Yeah, so basically he was trying to explain what is truly being stupid in society, and he based it primarily on how beneficial are you to yourself and how beneficial are you to society. And he made a quadrant of it where the y-axis, which is the up and down, is how beneficial are you to society. And then the x-axis, which is left and right, is how beneficial are you to self, yourself. Yes. And it's very interesting. And it's perfectly set up for a great conversation between us. Like, it's very kind of philosophical. It's something that I think a lot of us can relate to. And for me, when I saw this, I was like, dude, we got to talk about this. This kind of really feels like what we're aiming for,
right?
And what we've been aiming for, but now we're trying to take it to the next level.
Well, I think it's really interesting. So I'll go ahead and start off with the first one, right? Yeah. So the first category of individuals are in the top left quadrant.
Yep.
And these are individuals who are not beneficial to themselves, more destructive, I guess, mm-hmm. but they are highly beneficial to society.
Yes.
This category of individuals is called the helpless.
Yes. And the quadrant to the right of that is considered the intelligent quadrant, which is where you're beneficial to society and you're beneficial to oneself. So you're actually helping out the world while you're actually helping out yourself as
exactly.
well. Like that. To me, that's intelligent.
That's definitely been a part of our philosophy for a long time, and we're going to get into
that.
I just think that's
quadrant.
A really interesting quadrant for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, now down below, underneath the x-axis, but still to the right,
mm-hmm.
Are the category called bandits.
Yes.
And these are considered individuals who are actually destructive or detrimental to society. They're not contributing in any way, shape, or form. They're not, you know, actually being beneficial
mm-hmm.
to society, but they are very much benefiting themselves.
Yeah. They're smart enough to profit off of the public.
Exactly.
You know, but they're not, they're bandits.
That's why we call them banditos. Yeah.
And then to the left of that quadrant is the stupid, which is where you're not helpful to society and you're destructive to yourself as well. So it's a double negative, and that's where he really considers it the stupid. And I mean, we could break down the word stupid, you know, like stupid. Do you choose to be stupid? I mean, this quadrant is assuming that you are choosing to be stupid. Would you say that?
I mean, it's a good
question. I knew we were going to get deep all of a sudden.
Now we're talking about free will and all that stuff and agency. But, you know, honestly, I think, you know, when you hear the word stupid, I think part of that is, intentionally meant to elicit like a reaction, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think, you know, like, what are you doing if you're destructive to yourself and to everyone else around you?
Yeah.
Like that's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why? What is the purpose? Like no one understands why are you here?
Yeah. You don't want to be around that person
because
they're going to
exactly.
have a negative effect on you and they don't, you can't help someone if they don't want to help themselves. You know, it's like bringing the horse to water and they can't force them to drink it. You know what I mean? So it's a little rough to hear, but at the same time, do you agree with it?
Well, I think it's really, really fascinating. I think the another interesting, we're going to talk a lot about the intelligence quadrant, I think. Yeah, you know, those
we'll talk about each one for sure.
Yeah, but where you're beneficial to society and to yourself. But I think the interesting one that is definitely being talked about a lot more than ever, particularly after the whole Wall Street Bets, GameStop stuff, is who are those in the bandit quadrant, right? What exactly do specific financial institutions, legacy financial institutions, what are they really actually contributing to society?
Yeah.
Right. Or, I mean, the idea that, you know, business value is really based on the production and like how well it's doing. And it's actually, you know, hiring employees, like all of these different things. That's like what the stock value should be at. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And you look at some of the other financial institutions, a lot that are being called out, which are saying like, look, you've been shorting and jacking up the prices for a long time in this market. Mm-hmm. And that's really not actually benefiting the businesses themselves, which is really what the whole point is. Yeah. You're basically just being able to like, you know, make a really, really high profit. And that's an interesting, the quadrant of bandits is really interesting because that's when you're able to actually kind of like see the framework and apply it in an interesting way. Now the bandits, we're not saying you're morally bad or good, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, really consider, and this is where we're seeing a big shift, I mean, by Jamie Dimon over at, you know, JP Morgan Chase and whatnot, who are saying, you know, we need to really start focusing our capitalism on all stakeholders, not just shareholders.
It's funny that you're bringing this up. I was like literally ready to talk about stakeholders.
And really?
Yeah, well, we've had a discussion on this before. We've also talked about this a lot in some of the courses that we've put together and in the classes we've taught. And it really does come to what is the impact of what you're doing.
Yep.
And if you're in the bandit category, if what you're doing is prioritizing maybe just like a few amount of the stakeholders, like the highest level, so the CEO, CFO, et cetera, and maybe the biggest shareholders, then that's one thing. But what about those other stakeholders that are also highly impacted by the company that maybe represent the majority? So they don't even have to be the customers. But if, for example, you are a cattle farmer, then if you're expanding your cattle farm and you're bringing down the trees or you're buying other people's plots of land, even though you bought the plot of land from someone so that person no longer owns that land, you are going to be influencing those that live around that area. You're going to be influencing that village, and therefore it needs to be considered what your impact is. And if you're just fully focused on the profit, or if you're, you know, being a bit of a bandit and just like taking for yourself and then not thinking about them, that's when things get a little bit dangerous, disappointing. I saw a documentary not too long ago. I believe it was on DuPont Chemistry, chemical company.
Yeah.
And when they've had their moments, but one specific time was when they were polluting the water and the cattle were drinking the water and it was making all the cattle die. And then some of the kids were ending up swimming in it. I mean, we can name numerous
companies
that fit in the category or had a bandit moment.
Yeah.
And I do want to emphasize that our whole ideal future is where everyone focuses more on the intelligent category.
Could not agree with you more. And I actually think you bring up a really good point that there are like bandit moments. And I think it's important to realize that this quadrant, obviously, if you go towards the bottom, you're actually not just having like a neutral effect, right?
Yeah.
You're actually being destructive to society. That's different. And I think, you know, talking about financial institutions, I wouldn't necessarily say, I mean, obviously in 2008, we can talk about that. But in terms of the GameStop and Wall Street Bets right now, are they really destructive to society? Some could argue yes. Others, I think that there are a lot of other things that you need to address. And I think that the big thing that people were focusing on is just an institutionalized, wealth gap. That you really, it's not an even level playing ground, right? And that's something that we all need to consider and like figure out. And that goes beyond individual. That goes beyond one company. It's like a whole system that we need to kind of figure out. But I think it's a good, you can probably put individuals in there probably more so than an institutional system like our financial system, right?
Yeah, well, I do think that it carries over to whatever level you're doing it on. So institution, corporate, small business, big business, family size, like group size, team size, but I do want to go back to the individual, because as our listeners are listening to this, I think it's really important for them to reflect on where they are.
Yeah.
And no one's ever 100% perfectly in the top right corner or, yeah, you know, all the way on one side of the spectrum. It's always good to recognize that you're trying to get closer to that point. And I do like to think that everyone is trying to get to the point where they're beneficial to themselves.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, equally beneficial to society. You know, 100%. Like you want to be 100 there and 100 there. Yeah, that's the perfect place to be.
Exactly. The golden area of this quadrant is the top right, the intelligent, yeah, where you are actually benefiting society and you're benefiting yourself. Like, what? Yeah. I think there's a really interesting, weird misconception about, you know, how capitalism works. And obviously, this is something that we're all working through right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you don't have to not benefit yourself in order to benefit society. I think that's, right, a really interesting and weird mindset where only nonprofits who won't be making a profit are the only ones who could benefit society.
Mm, yeah.
No, that's you a don't little
have
silly.
To, you don't have to start a social venture per se.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different ways that you can be making a positive impact,
exactly,
on the world.
Exactly.
I mean, ideally, that's the goal, is that level.
But we're saying this is not easy. Okay. I think, like, we'll speak from our own experience of, like, being, creating something where you're actually benefiting yourself and society at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I do agree that the intelligent title of that category, of that quadrant, is applicable.
Yeah. You're like earning that title. The other thing I like about the name intelligent is everyone wants to be intelligent,
yeah,
and no one wants to be stupid. So it automatically puts a target for everyone to aim for. And then the other thing that you were mentioning is the idea of creating something. That there's a whole nother realm of you being able to contribute to society as an individual while contributing to better yourself. And sometimes they are intertwined, but sometimes they may not be. So for example, if you're working for a company, some of these companies now have like a Friday where they have leadership teams do volunteer work in their local community,
yeah,
or something. You know, there's so many ways that you can integrate that into what you're already doing. And if you're working for a company, congratulations, you are working on yourself in one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, in terms of if you started your own company and you hired some people, I mean, that's a really huge benefit to
that
society.
That is 100%.
You know,
yeah.
And I even think about, you know, the co-op, the milk dairy farms that we visited when we were in India.
Yeah.
Check out that episode if you haven't already. It's really interesting because they're set up in a co-op way, right?
Yeah.
So every single farmer,
yeah,
a cooperative. So every single farmer, regardless of how big their land is or how many cattle they have, everyone has one share, one vote. And I think,
yeah,
it's really, really interesting. And you can see how much that empowers individuals who could potentially, you know, be kind of pushed to the side if you didn't have enough capital to have this much land or this many cows. So it
better takes care of all the farmers.
Exactly.
You know, if it was done in another format where all of a sudden they're choosing to have their milk company be fully engulfed within the company itself, then that puts all those prior farmers out of a job,
yeah,
or they have to work for that company. But this, you know, there's a million ways that everyone can work harder to aim for that top right quadrant.
Yeah.
And I think we're just challenging you all to do so. And there are those individuals. The other thing I want to talk about is those individuals that are unable to help themselves,
yeah,
but they are helping to contribute to society. And there's,
yeah,
a lot of ways that you can further help yourself, you,
yeah,
know? Like, for example, I do think this is an important point, is that profit is okay and profit is good. You should be able to make a business. And if you have to go and make a profit, that's a good thing. Good thing to make profit. You have to make a profit because a profit will help you grow and allow you to make a larger impact on society.
So, you know what I mean? So true. It kind of like, think about, you know, on the airplane when you are, what do they say when, if something happens on the airplane, you have to save yourself before you save other,
right,
people, right?
Exactly.
And I think that's this mind shift of capitalism is bad and profit is bad. That's not true. I think that I really do think that, you have to kind of embrace it because it really does empower you and others that you could potentially help down the line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that part of it is we all kind of associate capitalism with greed, right?
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily true. Just because you're okay with capitalism doesn't mean you're always greedy. I think that we all have to kind of like look within ourselves and say, hey, look, if I'm benefiting from the things that my talents, my skills, my work ethic, my investment, whatever it is, I'm benefiting myself. I feel like with great power comes great responsibility. Absolutely. And I want to make sure that others are being lifted up as well.
Yeah.
It's really simple. It's like, you know, the basic kindergarten phrase of, you know, like share with others. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. So it is important to take the time to figure out where you fit on the quadrant and then figure out how you can better yourself or better society. And everyone can do better. Even if we all want to be in the intelligent quadrant, there's more that can be done.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the call to action that we're kind of putting out there.
Well said. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, just do your best to, and it can be in small increments. I mean, I remember when we were doing Life Out of the Box, we were just 2 25-year-olds, like, what are we going to be able to do to solve some of these problems in the educational system in Nicaragua, let alone the United States of America? You know, we didn't know, but, you know, like little bits here and there. I mean, it could be a small step, but I think you really do have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself too.
Yeah.
You know, don't be, the last thing you want to do is be destructive to yourself and destructive to everyone around you. I mean, that's like a bomb. No one wants to be around that.
Yeah, you don't want to be around that. It's peligroso.
Muy peligroso.
But I do have a question, because I do think that this could be difficult, but how do you figure out where you are on the quadrant?
Mm.
Because I honestly think that there may be times when you either A, don't want to be honest with yourself, or B, maybe are playing as if you are something that you're not.
It's a really good question. Now, I'll be completely honest with everyone here. I am a recovering people pleaser. And basically, you know, with people pleasing, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why some individuals like myself, like, have a hard time saying no to people. And part of it has to do with, you just want to, like, it's not about, you know, being a hype woman or anything like that. It's just about, like, really wanting to...
help.
Yeah, just to always help. Just be a nice, helpful, caring individual.
You feel a sense of fulfillment when you do that. And I don't ever want you to lose that. But yeah, there were times where you couldn't say no, and now you're juggling too many balls.
Exactly. And so I think that was being taken advantage of. Now, that's a really important thing. And I know a lot of other individuals who are just like this, right? Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is a maturing, right? You're maturing, you're growing up. And so, but I think you shouldn't be working for someone for free. Necessarily, right? If everyone else around you is getting paid and someone's kind of just being like, hey, it's okay to ask for more, right? You got to look out for yourself, but you want to look out for other people. And so I think as I was growing up, you know, especially in my 20s, it was really difficult for me to like talk about negotiations, like, oh no, I think I should get paid more. You know, I know this is a big thing for women, especially. It's like when you really feel like your value is worth more, it's like you're a little bit nervous to actually ask for that raise or ask for a higher wage for, you know, something that you created. But I think that this quadrant kind of helps me realize, like, if you're on that spectrum where you're really not benefiting yourself, like you're not learning, you're just kind of being taken advantage of, try to get over to the right. You know, you want to actually be able to help yourself, because in doing so, you have the potential to help others in a much bigger way.
Exactly. So why don't we talk about, like, because it took you a while to figure out that you were being overly helpful. You know what I mean?
Too much.
And I don't know, what was it that like kind of gave you the moment of like realization? Because I think that there's a lot of people who, it might not be that they're being too helpful, but it might be that maybe I'm not helping enough.
Right.
You know, I mean, we could just focus on the y-axis of contributing to society. And maybe, you know, how do you evaluate where you are? Is it simply by comparison, or does it depend on other variables like how you feel inside? I don't know. Like, I'm trying to...
No, it's a good question.
Get a grasp on it.
Well, I mean, if you're always the one who people are coming to with their problems, but you're not getting anything in return, you know, that's kind of like a first basic level, right? Like, of course, you want to be a good friend. You want to always be there for your friends. Yeah. But if you're constantly giving, and nothing's being reciprocated, you know, that's where it's like, what am I doing? What's going on here? You know, like, am I just a pushover? You know, what's going on? And I think for me, it was really, you know, honestly, I wasn't going to get through my PhD if I was just going to say yes to every single meeting someone asked me to do, you know?
And sometimes, you had to focus on self at that time.
I had a goal. I wanted to get it done in 3 years, and that was not going to be feasible if I just let people take up all my time.
Yeah.
And it was hard because like I care so much. I was so passionate about being a teacher with my students and everything, but it was really as simple as just like, okay, I just need a boundary.
Yeah.
I just need like, okay, this is the 2 hours for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mm-hmm. that I am setting aside for my passion for teaching and mentoring my students. Right. Yeah. And then I have all this time to make sure that I get this done. And then work has this. So I think the first part is being honest with yourself. Like you said, yeah. like you have to be honest and you got to be aware of really how beneficial to yourself are you?
Yeah. That was actually a really good example you used with the PhD program, because after your PhD, which was you focusing on helping yourself, you for sure are able to contribute that much more to society.
Right.
Because of what you've accomplished with your dissertation and understanding the process of science. I mean, a lot comes out of it, and it's kind of beautiful to see that actually worked pretty accurate to the quadrant.
It really did. And really, it was an amazing thing because it put me in a position where I really could make an impact on my students. And mm-hmm. it's like one of my favorite things to hear about what they're doing now these days, yeah. you know, like, because we really, really, when you are on your path and goal, you might inspire people along the way that you're not even aware of,
yeah,
right?
That's very true.
And so, but put yourself in a position where you actually can help others. I think that's such an important part of success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you just care about yourself and actually be destructive to others? Now, there's yeah. obviously this See, whole idea of like competition,
yeah,
right? But I think competition to me in the most ideal setting would be everyone competes, but you're lifting each other up.
Yeah.
You're not trying to take each other down.
Well, you're that's really interesting. You're making me stutter because we're getting so freaking deep. But
that's okay.
When I'm thinking about it, the opposite of what you were doing was, the opposite of you helping others more than you helping yourself would be that you're helping yourself a lot and not helping others.
Right.
Right. And I think that maybe there are some people that may think that they could be doing more.
Right.
And I do really want to encourage people, because I actually do think you're a rare find where you fit in that weird category where you were the yes, yes, yes. And I do think a lot of people are comfortable maybe asking for help more mm-hmm. often and not contributing back.
Right.
And I think that's such an important thing for us to discuss, because I do think that when it comes down to giving and taking, you gotta make sure that it's balanced.
Yeah.
When it comes to like true friendship, like,
so true.
Or when you're working with a group or team, you really want to make sure that you are balanced.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be the whole person who does the whole project for the team, but you definitely do not want to be the person who does nothing. The team did everything and you get equal credit. That's
yeah.
to me, that's horrible.
It
so
is.
I think that one way you can kind of check on that is by thinking about your daily work life and where you kind of fit within that.
Yeah.
Think about all of your relationships, not just your immediate ones, and then really trying to figure yourself out by being honest.
100%.
Man, you got me all stutter butter, baby.
No, I think that this is a really interesting topic.
When we're getting deep, that's what happens. You know, my brain's like overloaded.
More like, you know, our CPUs up here, you know, you're connecting the dots. And I think that really what it comes down to is that balance that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And I think that this can be applied in a lot of different relationships, not just family and friends and whatnot. I think that, you know, even in the mentor-mentee relationship, I'll just give a little piece of advice for all you young, you know, anyone who is looking for a mentor and wanting to really, you know, attach themselves to someone who can help them on their journey on their career path.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're not just taking. I think that the best
Absolutely.
Mentorship relationships is that there's a give and a take.
Yeah. And
right?
And I understand though that when you are being mentored, it's kind of uncomfortable, or maybe you don't have enough confidence in what you can give the mentor.
Mm.
You know, because you're being guided. They're the leader, but think hard about what it is that maybe they need in their life. And sometimes it could just be a friend, or maybe they are getting fulfillment from leading you.
Yeah.
But it does take time. I would say it's actually more difficult to figure out how you can contribute back to your mentor, but it's worth the effort. And that's how the relationship can really develop and blossom into a really close friendship.
Yes.
As you grow and develop into your ideal self and your mentor sees you under their wing, go and fly.
Totally agree. And I'll just say, from someone who really, you know, embraced wanting to be a mentor to whichever of my students needed it at the time, right?
Yeah. And still today, you're still a mentor to many people.
Yeah, well, I'm honored to be that. It's like a role that I feel like is an honor for sure. But I think for me, just anecdotally, when people who I've mentored just reach out to me just to say hi, nothing else, just, hey, how's it going? I'm just thinking about you. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, it could be as simple as that. Like, you don't have to necessarily say, hey, I got this really great idea for, you know, investment stocks. You don't want to miss it. You know, yeah. Like, well, you just want to say hi.
That could be more of like, you're trying to be a little bit of a bandit now. So you're like converting your mentor into your resource, you know, your financial resource. Yeah. That's not. So yeah, I think it's very nice sometimes just to be a kind person checking in and saying, hi, how are you? And a lot of people, especially right now, we all need a little bit of friendship, a little bit of happiness and glee. Everyone's going through something. Even when this is all over, the whole situation, there's many highs and lows to be had. And we need to be there for each other because we want to see a better world. It's all about coming together.
Totally agree. I do think that this time, if anything, and I've said this a couple of times in different ways on other episodes, but really this time has really taught us that, you know, we all have to come together. You know, I know that, you know, there are a lot of divisions. Everyone can have their own opinions and all that good stuff. But I think that the really big thing is if you're lifting yourself up, the best thing you could do is reach a hand down and lift someone else up there with you. Right.
Yep.
And it is kind of more of a collectivist mindset, but we're all in this together. The only way we get through this is everyone gets vaccinated, right? Yeah. We're all trying to lift each other up, and so that we can, you know, go to a new normal, right? Venture forth.
Lifting people up is just it's honestly a really rewarding thing, and so you really should just try to figure out how you can do that. And everyone's different. Maybe some people are a little bit more enclosed, they're more like a hermit. They don't want to be talking to others on an intimate level, and that's fine. You got to respect that.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people out there that maybe are just waiting for you to help show them a little bit of the light at the end of the day. And I just think that it's really important for everyone to just put in a little bit of effort to try to be that person for someone else.
Yeah.
And don't feel discouraged when you're trying to do that and you're not finding anyone is reacting, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good thing, and who knows what that connection can build or bring later down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that it is really important to just ensure that, you know, really it is the best feeling in the world helping someone out. And when you're helping someone out, don't do it with the expectation that something's going to happen back. But ensure that you do have boundaries so that you're not taking advantage of. And it's a kind of a hard balance to find out. But I think I'll link the video in the description so you can kind of have a visual of the quadrant. And I think obviously we're talking about some extremes here. Mm-hmm. And you just got to introspect on how you're feeling. Where do you fall on this currently? And it's just used as a tool not to categorize anyone. Like, you are not a tree. You don't, you can move, you know, like you can actually benefit yourself and society. And that's the hardest, but to me, the gold standard of like, that's the best aspiration you could have is that you're benefiting yourself and others around you.
Mm-hmm. You know. Everyone wants to be intelligent. If anything, I think that this quadrant is, like you said, it's a tool, but it's like a motivating tool.
Yeah.
Like it gives you a specific target. It shows you where you definitely don't want to be, and it shows you where you're aiming for, and it shows you where you might be landing in currently.
Yeah.
And so using this tool, it shows you what actions need to be taken in order for you to get to the intelligent category.
Yeah.
Which we are still aiming for.
I'm
not trying to say we're like here. I feel like it's always something that we'll always be thinking about with every action, whether it's business, whether it's being a mentor or being mentored, and thinking, how can I further ensure that I get more into that intelligent category?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll just say this, the vaccine trials that we've been in, that's a perfect example.
Oh, that's a good one.
Benefit to us, benefit to society,
perfect.
All good.
Yes.
So thanks so much for tuning in, you guys. Really enjoy this conversation. It went all over the place, but I think that, you know, we get deep and we love sharing our thoughts with you. It's like an intimate conversation we get to have with our friends. So we are excited to talk to you all tomorrow.
Yes.
And if you get a moment, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yes, sir.
And we can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye.
Journey through sound.